602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. For the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me. And we're going to talk about car and car repair and motorhomes and horse trailers and wheel bearings and turbochargers and superchargers and
whatever else you get off on.
Exactly right. Exactly right. My wife, Renee, is sitting here, and many of you have commented that she brings something special to the show, and I don't know if that should hurt my feelings or not.
They must like to hear you harassed, huh?
You know, that one guy said that.
Yeah.
He said it's fun to have her give you crap, poo-poo. I said, you know, fine. That's fine. But I still have the button to turn your mic off and
that's
stuff
true.
Like that.
So but I'm sitting closer to him, so be careful.
Okay. All right. All right. So we wanted to talk about that. We spend some of our time in Payson.
Right.
We have horse property up here, and we know that KKNT reaches up here to Payson. Mm-hmm. So those of you in Payson that are listening to the show, and there are a few, don't forget that the Payson Car Show is at the Matazel Casino on May 12th and 13th, which is a Friday and a Saturday. I'll be there for both of those days. We're going to be taking one of our trucks as just a display. We're not entering in any of the classifications, although they don't have a classification for any of the vehicles I own. But we're going to be there, and I'm a short-termer for the car club. So we're going to tell you about it, and it starts Saturday morning, and then they're going to have kind of a rally where I think they drive through town Saturday afternoon. And then that might be
Friday night, I think it is.
Yeah, Friday night. And then Saturday it goes on for a half a day or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there's kids there that are going to have their own car show, and they're going to make their cars out of cardboard.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is the second or the third year we've done that, and that's kind of cool. And then everybody votes on the nicest cardboard car. And the kids are getting pretty sophisticated, you know, with the paint and stuff like that. So that's the car show. There's lots and lots of old cars, and it's free. There's no, you know, to go in or out. Now, today, Saturday and Sunday, today and tomorrow, the Payson Art League has an art studio self-guided tour throughout Payson. So if you're an art aficionado, if you love pictures and people painting, you get the opportunity in Payson to actually talk to many of the artists themselves.
They're all at the shows where their art is displayed. So
if you stop at a place, if you look at five different artists' work, more than likely all five of them are going to be there.
Yes.
So you can talk to them. And some of them will actually paint something you provide them a photograph with.
Yep, I'm sure some of them will. Yeah. So I know the first one is just outside of Payson. It's off of Gibson Ranch Road. But each location has a brochure, and then they have the map of where all of the locations are because, like you say, they're all around Payson. So.
Okay. Now, as you're coming up from Payson, when you top the hill, you're heading kind of on flat ground towards the Sonic.
Yeah.
And halfway between the top of the hill and where the cops always sit, on the top of the hill and Sonic, halfway in between, there's a road to the right. I think it's at mile marker
249.
249. That's called Gibson Ranch Road.
Right.
And so you're going to follow the signs there back to where they're having the art studio. And I think it's near a dead end road, right? What's the name of that road?
Gibson Ranch Road.
Okay. So if you go too far, you're just going to have to turn around and come back a block.
Yeah.
Because the house is right there. It's on your right as you come in. But it's about a mile back, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a mile back or so. And there's a lot of great artists up here. It's pretty amazing.
And they are. As you go in, I know that your mom painted some of our barnyard animals, and those were pretty popular paintings. Especially when we were able to identify who they were, and we gave the horses names, which, of course, they have names.
Sure.
And so that was kind of cool. I liked that. Your mom did a good job with that. So anyway, that's what's going on in Payson. Do you know what's going on in my life?
Oh, no. I mean, I do, but...
Okay. Well, I want to wash a little dirty laundry here.
Okay.
In front of everybody, because there is nothing perfect about our life. So my daughter, Andy, works at the shop. She's been there for 22 years. Mm-hmm. She started at the front counter and answering phone when she was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. So today, she is actually running the operation. So a lady calls, and I'm going to do this as fairly as I can.
Okay.
The lady calls and says that she has a very old Buick Riviera, and according to the internet and according to some other people that she's talked to, that she has a bad brake booster. So can you pay attention to this?
Yes, I am paying attention.
She has a bad brake booster, and she wants Andy to first verify that the brake booster is available, and if it's not available, is there a universal brake booster that can fix it? And if it is available, what's the turnaround time?
Yeah. When? How quickly can we get it, and what's the approximate cost, and right. all that kind of stuff.
So Andy explains that we really need the car here, and we have to first confirm the diagnosis. The second thing is we have to know which booster she has. And the third thing is that there's a diagnostic process, and then we're going to give her an estimate. Because she wants all of those on the phone.
Right.
So we have a four-step process. We have the symptoms. And you know what her symptoms were?
I think she said a whooshing noise.
Yeah,
something.
A whooshing noise.
Yeah.
Give me a break. A whooshing noise. She's got a whooshing noise. Then that's a symptom. Then the diagnosis is the gurus on the internet told her it's probably this.
Mm-hmm.
Then the estimate she's asking for over the phone, and we've not been a part of any of that process. And then she says, after we give her the estimate, then she's going to okay the repair. So we can't very well complete step one, the symptom analysis, two, the diagnosis, and three, the estimate, because we don't have anything to work with. So she says, I want you to go get a technician off the floor
mm-hmm.
and bring him, and I want to talk to him. And Andy says, no, we don't do that. And then Andy did go talk to Jeff in the parts department, and Jeff said, I looked in the book, and there are two boosters for that, a HydroBoost booster, which is a hydraulically operated power brake unit, or a vacuum-operated booster. So Andy goes back and says, ma'am, do you know if you have a HydroBoost or if you have a vacuum-operated booster? And she says, no. And Andy says, I can't possibly give you a price. And she says, well, check on the availability of both of them
mm-hmm.
and price both of them.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the line goes dead because this conversation is getting heated. And so Andy calls back and says, I'm sorry, ma'am. Somehow we got cut off. And the lady says, we didn't get cut off. I hung up on you. So then Andy calls back again and says, ma'am, you haven't been in 2 years. We have your history right here in front of us. I'm going to go ahead and close your account because clearly we're not getting along here. And I'm going to close your account. And the lady goes ballistic and hangs up again.
Mm-hmm.
The next day I get an email.
Right.
All right. So I do some investigation. The lady's been in 11 times. She's mad at Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And she accuses Andy of hiding my email. She didn't want to send it to our shop email. She wanted to send it to me personally because she was convinced that Andy would not let me see the email. So
right.
my letter back to her, my email back to her is first in an effort of complete disclosure. Andy is my daughter.
Right.
And she's the CEO and CFO of our company. So that's who you had on the phone. Number two, you're asking Andy to break four of my rules that are commandments. Number one, we don't give estimates over the phone because we don't know what we're estimating. And part of that reason is you're a good example. You don't even know what you want. You don't know what part you want. You don't even know where it's at. And your diagnosis came from a bunch of idiots on the internet. And you want, and then she says in her email, and you can see how I'm wound up, I'm getting on this.
Already.
She says on the email, I was trying to save everybody time. So my response to her was, okay, you're going to call us and you want us to check on a part that you can't describe. You want us to check on the availability of all the parts that you can't describe. Then you want us to price the installation of the part and to check the accessibility of all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll save you $30 on your tow bill from
right.
AAA.
That was saving her time, but not us time.
Oh. So I write her back and I say, so you want the technician to be brought up front. Now, your car is on the rack. He gets sidetracked. He comes up front to talk to some lady on the phone. He then goes to parts, then he goes back to the phone, then he goes back to parts and goes back to the phone. Now you've got the parts department involved, tied up. You've got a service rider that's holding on the tickets for that technician. The technician's not working, and it's all uncompensated time. We're getting close to the end of my letter. It ain't pretty. So I'm saying to her, we don't call technicians over the flow for, we don't, and besides, if he's working on your car and he loses track of where he's at and he doesn't tighten your lug nuts up, what about then?
Yeah.
You know, would you want your technician to be pulled off the floor while he's doing work on your car to answer a call from a lady that doesn't even know what part she needs? So you violated that rule. We don't pull technicians off the floor. We don't give estimates. We don't guess. And we don't let people on the internet that have never seen your car, that we've never seen their resume, guess, and we don't take their guess and then bid based on their guess.
Right.
So those are hard and fast rules. You ask Andy to break every single one of them. The answer is no. But I'll tell you something, ma'am. Of the 11 times you've come in, the little girl that you beat up on your email, was 7 times we have made a financial consideration to you out of 11 times you've been here. We've no charged labor because you raised hell with us. We no charged some O-rings on an air compressor because you raised hell with us. And one time you came in and you said, give me an estimate for belts and hoses, and you brought the car. Mm-hmm. So we did. Mm-hmm. 16 months later, the lower hose blew off your car, and you came in and wanted to know why we couldn't tell you that the lower hose was about ready to blow. And at the time, we were aghast because 16 months before that, we had told you, you came in and asked us for the estimate, and we gave you the estimate. And so you didn't know you needed hoses and belts. Then why did you ask us to estimate them 16 months ago? So how many of them? 5 times Andy was involved in the
7
times mm-hmm. Andy was directly involved in the consideration and the credits given to this lady and her husband 7 times to make her happy.
Yep.
And this is the little girl that this lady's beating up on, but she doesn't know that Andy was part and parcel of the decision-making process to give her 7 credits on 11 visits.
Yep. They just assume a woman's not going to know what they're talking about.
And they're wrong about it at our shop.
That's right. A lot of others,
so that's the dirty laundry. So I said to her, I sincerely wish you good luck in finding a new auto repair facility, but I agree with Andy. We need to sever our ties. You need to go east, and we'll go west.
Yeah, I don't think the relationship could ever be the same or get back to where it should be because she didn't trust us.
You're exactly right. From that point on, if she came in, she would not want to deal with Andy, which mm-hmm. would then create a whole different problem because Andy runs the front counter.
Yeah.
During the morning, you're going to greet Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of all of that, this is the first complaint in 20-some-odd years that we've ever had about Andy.
Yeah.
On the contrary, when we've walked into the lobby, when we get there at 7:30, we open at 7:30, people will say to us, she's a wonderful young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone always loves Andy. So and then this lady said on her thing that she said a bunch of stuff about what Andy said or did, but I understand you were sitting in her office during that period of time.
Yeah, Andy wasn't getting too many words in, and I think the lady put a spin on it where it was the opposite
way.
She did.
Yeah. She did. She wrote down that she hardly had a chance to talk, but you were sitting because you could hear Andy mm-hmm. from your office.
I was in her office. I happened to be in her office for a few minutes and listened to part of the conversation. So.
Okay, and then there was some period of time, correct me if I'm wrong, some period of time, that she didn't say anything for a very long time.
Correct.
What I don't understand is why did she call back and apologize for the disconnect?
I don't know.
She knew she didn't push the hang-up button.
Right.
She knew that lady did, but I thought it was nice that she did call back and say, I'm sorry, maybe it was your end or my end. I apologize for the disconnect. Go ahead. And then the lady hung up on her again.
Yeah.
So anyway, folks, it's not like that we're perfect. It's not like we don't have complaints. It's not like that we live this life what do I want to say?
I don't know. But we're just giving you our perspective of when people want estimates on the phone. Some easy things we might be able to give you a ballpark, but a lot of things
we have to see your
car. We'll tell you about a guy that, was estimated $2,000 and we fixed it for $128. So if we would have bid that repair, it would have taken us forever, and it wasn't even that.
And Gil, we're going to take a break in just a minute, but I'm on a roll. What you're talking about is a guy went, was it Google or was it to our website?
I don't remember.
Okay. It was on, he went someplace, and he said he went to one shop, and they told him he needed lower control arms, and it was $800. Then he went to another shop, and they quoted him $2,000 to square up the front end on his truck that he just bought.
Mm-hmm.
Then he heard from his neighbors about Salem Boys Auto, so he took it to Salem Boys Auto, and we charged him $128. And what we did is adjust the steering box.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he left, it was a brand new truck. All of his problems were solved. And for $128, he called it $130, though.
Okay.
$130, his truck was fixed. And all the symptoms that he had when he brought it in, when he left, were gone.
Yeah.
So we didn't misdiagnose it, because if the lower control arms would have been bad, that clunking noise would have still been there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I'm going to tell you from my point of view, if you want an estimate or if you want a what we call a parking lot diagnosis, you're going to have to take your car to your shop. Because
mm-hmm.
asking them to bid it over the phone is like asking a pool company how much your pool's going to be, and they don't know what your backyard looks like. They don't know how big of a pool, how deep of a pool, how many gallons of pool, how much equipment. They don't know that.
Or painting your house, yeah. Whatever, same yeah. thing.
It's just difficult to do that. Yeah. All right, so now that I've vented myself and I feel a whole lot better, then 602-508-0960 is the time to call in, 602-508-0960. And if you want to beat me up, knock yourself out. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 24 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Renee is gone, so all you get is me. And, folks, we just wanted to make sure everybody understood that we're not perfect. And to be perfectly honest with you, when it comes to customer complaints about my shop, probably 80% of them are about my bluntness. So I apologize for that, but probably 80% of them are about me to me, and I'm able to convert many of those to after some conversation. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. And let me tell you about Larry Harker's Auto. He's been in business since 1967. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School. And he can really do magic work. He is such a diagnostician. His name is Bob. Ellen is his wife. She handles the front counter. And Bob runs the shop, and he is one good guy. One really, really good guy. So if you're looking for a diagnostician that, in my opinion, is head and shoulders above just about everybody else in this town, then you're just going to have to drive to 38th Avenue and Indian School and talk to Bob at Larry Harker's Auto. Why is it that you have the microphones on, or you want to discuss this?
No, I just came in to say hello.
Oh, hello. Well, we actually have Andy here. We talked about you for the first 20 minutes.
Oh, great.
And your complaint.
Perfect.
And we told him about how you hung up on the lady.
That is false. Is that her version or my version?
No. You know, to some extent, both of your versions were the same.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, you blamed her for the bad stuff. She blamed you for the bad stuff. But it was kind of funny. We talked about, some of the things that we need to learn from this. We talked about, really and truly, the idea of is getting not having symptoms, or your only symptom is the word whoosh,
mm-hmm.
and then going to the internet for the diagnosis, and then calling us for the estimate when you can't even describe the part you're talking about,
yeah.
and then wanting us to access all the possibilities for the part and price all the possibilities for the part. And so there's a four-step process, and you want to handle three of them on the phone.
Yeah.
And she even admits that you said at least once or more than once, you said, hey, Gil, we just dropped to 96. You said more than once, please bring your car in. We can do all of this if you bring your car in.
Mm-hmm.
Her problem was just she was stuck at home.
Yeah.
And I guess her car, she didn't want to drive it, so she was going to have it towed.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to tow it to our place until we gave her an estimate she could live with, or an estimate that she could shop somewhere else. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
We would have done that. So I told her that you were my little girl.
Great.
And I told her, that's the first complaint you've ever had.
Yeah, I don't think I've had any others.
No, that's the first time that anybody's ever complained about Andy Candy. So it's just one of those things. Anyway, we did have a good week, and and everything in our lives is going pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We hired a new kid that's going to start on Monday.
Yeah.
And we're excited about him. We
yes.
have a new service writer.
Uh-huh.
And we're excited about him. He's yes. done pretty good his first week.
Yep.
And we have two Jeffs now. And
yes.
it's not uncommon for us to have two guys with the same name. So we have Jeff in parts and we have Jeff in service.
Yeah, and then we were laughing this week because we have Jeff and Jeff, we have John and Jonathan, and then we have Sean and Ron. So we were thinking that we were just going to do an overhead page for on up front, and see how many people come up.
So you just use the O-N on everybody's name, and they just get, they
and
all
then
come up.
We might just have everybody up front.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. No, you're right. Yeah, how's that work for Jeff?
For Jeff and parts and Jeff and service.
Yeah. Those are the only two guys that wouldn't come.
Yeah.
All righty. And is there a doorbell ringing? No, I guess there isn't. That's my way of asking Gil if he has any callers. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Olaf is your first caller. Olaf.
Olaf. Good morning, Olaf. How the heck are you?
Very good, Mark. They have a problem with my Toyota Camry.
Okay.
It's a 2008 four-cylinder with 92,000 miles.
Okay.
I go driving down the road near home. The speedometer quit working. The RPM gauge started to fluctuate, dropping to zero and up to 2,500 RPM. The gas gauge, the gas gauge stays normal, but the temperature gauge drops to cold.
Okay.
My park brake light comes on.
1 minute.
My ABS light comes on.
Okay.
And
okay.
The air conditioner will blow air.
Okay,
but
Olaf.
The compressor will not.
Okay, Olaf. We clearly have a power or ground problem in the car. And all those symptoms will help us identify what part of the car. But they're all related. The ABS light comes on because it sees speed, but it's not seeing the tires spin. So it doesn't understand that. When the speedometer goes to zero, but it's known it's going down the road at 2,500 RPMs, those two don't match. So what you're going to need to do is, this is what I would have you do. When it starts acting up, I want you to take your fist on the top of the dashboard, and I want you to hit the dashboard like this. Okay? And I want to know if that changes what the behavior of your dashboard. Does that change it? Now, I got to take a break, so you stay right there because I'm going to give you the other half of that equation. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Olaf and Bob, stay right there. I need 12, 15 seconds here. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. Been around since 1968, 40th Street in Washington. If you ever go up and down Washington around 40th Street, you'll see them on the north side of the road, and they've been there for a very, very long time. Phil and his staff do a really good job on diagnosing and repair transmissions, and they'll tell you and they tell me, not every car that comes in needs to have the transmission overhauled for thousands of dollars. They fix lots of transmissions for $50, for $150, and for $350. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington, and they're open on Saturdays 8 to 12 for your convenience. Olaf, let's continue on your Camry, okay?
Yes.
As you drive down the road, and this is going on and off, I want you to pound on the top of the dashboard right in front of you. I want to know if that makes it go away for a long time or if magically it makes it stop doing what it's doing and everything returns to normal. Because if you jar the dashboard and everything kind of clears up for some period of time, then there's a bad connection at the back of the dashboard, and that isolates the problem. If nothing happens on the dashboard, I want you to go to the center of the dash. And I want you to, not enough to break the dash pad, but just beat on the center of the dash. And then if your wife is there, have her beat on the passenger side of the dash. Three or four good strikes with your fist. We need to know if you can change it when it's acting up by hitting three different parts of the dash. That will give us a clue of where to start. And if you can tell us where to start, you're going to save yourself some diagnostic money. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay.
All righty.
What I did do, Mark, was I went on the computer to Google people having like problems.
Okay.
And I found Toyota owners that had the identical problem as I'm having. And they said they corrected the problem, by replacing the ABS control module. Does that sound reasonable?
No. Why would the ABS control module have anything to do with your tachometer? If you want, but this is another silly idea. Your ABS control module controls your ABS system. Pull into your gas station or your garage and have them disconnect one of the wheel sensors. That'll turn on the ABS light, and that will put the module to sleep. Then let's see if it happens again. So if it happens again, we have completely taken the ABS system out of the equation. So I don't understand what the relationship is between the ABS module and the gas gauge and the loss of a tachometer and the loss of a speedometer. I do understand the relationship between the speedometer and the ABS light coming on, but I don't understand the gas gauge and all the other symptoms you had. You're free to do what you want, but I think you're going to spend less money just by having somebody diagnose and fix this than trying to fix your car based on the guys on the internet. Keep in mind, Olaf, these people are guessing. They're guessing.
And an ABS module is more than likely a very expensive guess.
And it will be. And electrical parts, they won't let you return. So yeah. There's no such way you're going to borrow one for a day or so and give it back to them and have them give your money, because they won't even let me do that. So good luck to you, Olaf. I wish you the very best. Let's go on to Bob. Bob, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
I'm calling to brag about my 02 Chevy Blazer that I turned 200,000 miles on.
Oh.
This week with the original engine and transmission.
Good for you.
Now, my wife says it's no big deal. She says, 200,000 miles, that's no big deal. But how many cars do you really see that go over 200,000 miles?
I can tell you exactly. I can tell you that single-digit cars in my fleet of 140,000 cars, single digits, so it's probably 6 or 8% of all the cars I work on are north of 200,000. And actually, we have three cars that are north of 500,000. But let me tell your wife, let me talk to your wife in this respect. 200,000 miles represents 8 times around the girth of the earth. So you've driven the equator 8 times. And you didn't drive it at 60 miles an hour. It was stop and go the whole way. And so the girth of the earth is 24,850 miles. So let's call it 25,000 miles divided into your 200,000 miles. And here's what it tells me. You've never run it low on oil. You've never overheated it. You've taken good care of it. And this is what I would say to your wife with a big smile on my face, and providing she did not have a rolling pin close by. How many miles does your wife have on her car?
50,000.
And what kind of car is it?
She wants a new car.
All right.
She's ready for a new car.
What kind of car does she have that has 50?
She's got a 2012.
A 2012
Chevy Equinox.
Yeah.
Equinox. Tell her to try to get 200,000 miles on that clown.
So, yeah, you've probably done a really good job at maintaining it, I'm assuming.
Yeah. You know what? I can't help you with the wife problem. You know, I can't take a side. I can tell you I have the same problem you have. The problem, I think that the solution is this. You have two choices, three choices. You can put your foot down and say no. Mm-hmm. That's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. Choice number two is tell her, just go get what you want. And that's a bad idea, because she may buy a Jaguar or a Rolls Royce or some big fancy Crown Victoria. The third possibility is you go with her and help her find something that fits both of you. So that's really the three possibilities you have. This is not the Dr. Phil show, and I cannot help you because your wife wants a new car. So thank you very much for calling, Bob, and thank you for letting me tease you. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and the name of this show is Under the Hood. But more and more, it's beginning to sound like Dr. Phil. So there's some women in the radio studio right now, and we just had Bob on the air, and Bob is very, very proud that he's run his truck, his Blazer, his 02 Blazer, 200,000 miles, and he said something about that his wife wants a new car, and hers has 50,000 miles on it. And the ladies in the studio, who I will not identify, said, I think really what's going on here is, and these ladies are actually the Dr. Phils of the radio studio, and they said, I think that Bob is really proud that he's hit 200,000 miles. And what did that lady say?
And his wife is probably not giving him the credit or accolades that he wants.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. He's very happy and very proud he hit 200,000 miles, and she's just simply poo-pooing it away. And yeah. He has this, it's kind of like running a marathon and you got second place and she's just not really excited about second place. Mm. You know, she's not giving him the accolades that you said because that other lady just left the room.
Yeah. Yeah, she's crazy. Who wants her 2 cents anyway?
Oh, your mother? Your mother? You're talking about your mother
no,
that way?
I would never talk about my mother that way.
But I think you have a good point. I think you have a good point.
Well, too, I mean, she may not be into cars and all of that, so it's
she doesn't understand.
It's not a big deal in that sense. But I mean, that's a good milestone to hit, and obviously, he's taken very well care of his vehicle.
It would be just like this in my mind. A woman would say, "I made it all the way till I was 65 before I had gray hair." A guy would go, "Who cares?"
You know? Yeah.
And it might be very well some milestone for the lady.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly milestones, I hear lots of people my age talking about how long they've been married. That's mm-hmm. a common thing. How long have you been married? 43 years. How about you? 37. How about you? 3. And so that seems to be that same kind of thing. Some people are kind of excited about their how many years that they've been married, and some people would rather not talk about the 4 or 5 weddings they've had and that they've just gone on, you know, their fifth spouse and they've been married 3 years. But it's just a difference between boys and girls and left and right and black and white. It's all the same. 602-508-0960. Dr. Phil's here talking about your car. If you'd like to call us, then give me a call. I want to tell you about Air Park Auto Service real quick. Air Park Auto Service is up in Scottsdale. They've been up there since 1985. They're located on Raintree, just east of Hayden, and Raintree runs east and west just south of Bell Road, which is Frank Lloyd Wright. Nadine and Stacy opened up Air Park Auto about the same time that Renee and I opened up Salem Boys Auto in South Tempe. We all kind of grew up together in the business. Stacy passed away, and Nadine still is running Air Park Auto. So if you want to deal with a lady-owned operation, the only one I know of in Arizona, where a lady is the ultimate decision maker, and she has technical skills, and more important than anything else, she has what all mothers have. She knows when she's being fed a line of BS by one of her staffers. So, and she's the only shop in North Scottsdale that I hang my hat on. So Air Park Auto, Raintree, just east of Hayden, just south of Frank Lloyd Wright. Good place. And you've met Stacy before. Or Nadine, I should say.
Yeah, yeah, it's been probably a few years since
I... Yeah. And we do get lots of good comments about our shops, and that makes me very proud,
mm-hmm.
Especially when somebody saves them some money. Yeah. Because that's the common denominator. It's when you have... when you went here and they told you this much, and then you went here and they told you this much, and then somebody else fixed it. It's really a matter of gray hair as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. You get to where the gray-haired guys are at, and you're more likely to do it. Last week you weren't here, but there was a gentleman called in, and he had an old Ford van, and when he throttled up hard, the air conditioning would quit blowing through the center vents.
Mm-hmm.
So you have dashboard vents up high, center vents is in the middle, mm-hmm. and then floor vents. You've been in a car like that. So... it was a situation that he said, and he was an older guy. He said, "I've never had this happen before." And I said, "I want you to go to 25th Street Auto and talk to Billy. He's got gray hair. He'll know exactly where to look. There's no diagnostic time with respect to on-the-job training. He knows this is a vacuum leak.
Mm-hmm.
He knows there's 5 or 6 places that there could be a broken line, a plugged line, a pinched line, a line that fell off the vacuum port. He knows how to find it and fix it." So it's kind of a gray hair thing.
Yeah.
We have technicians that were born yesterday.
Yeah.
We have those guys, and we position them next to the gray-haired guys.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys don't have responsibilities for diagnosis. They're in an oil change, rotate tires, do brake work. But the diagnostic portion is left to the older guys.
Uh-huh.
And the more senior guys, the master technicians. Eddie's been with us 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has tremendous diagnostic skills.
Yeah, unbelievable.
602-508-0960 if you want to talk about your car. I'm going to tell you a story, and you already know the story. But a guy called me up, and he had taken his car. It was a Corvette, and mm-hmm. he had taken his car to, and it was another repair shop, but it was a dealer.
Yeah.
And they charged him $90 because his battery kept going dead. And they told him they couldn't find anything wrong. The next 3 days, the battery's dead. So I think he takes it back. They tell him they can't find anything. But he takes it home, and they tell him just to put a trickle charger on it. So mm-hmm. he puts a trickle charger on the battery, and he sees the needle sitting kind of low, normal. Then all of a sudden, the needle swings all the way to the right, which means all of a sudden, the battery's asking for a lot of juice, and then it goes back.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes click, and then click, click, and then click.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me up, and he goes, what do you think? And I says, I don't know what it is, but it sounds like you got a draw, and it sounds like it's intermittent.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I can hear a thump. And I said, okay, I got this. And he goes, well, how are you going to find it?
A thump after he shuts the vehicle off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to surround your car with all my technicians. And we're going to turn off all the fans and turn off all the music. And we're all going to sit there and listen. And we're going to shut the door. And everybody's going to have their hands on different parts of the car. And we're going to feel the thump. And once we feel the thump, we're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, how much is that going to cost me? And I said, well, if I have 10 techs there at $125 an hour and we're there for 10 minutes, it's pretty simple. Do the math. And there was silence. And I said, I'm kidding you.
Yeah.
I'm kidding you. So I'll tell you the story as I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie gets the car. And Eddie determines there's a big short within minutes, but now he has to track it down. So he starts tracking it down, and he finds the circuit that's got the draw, and then he looks at the manual, and the manual says these are all the components on the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So then he starts going through those, and he finds that the switch on one of the seats is powering up the electric motor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the switch is defective and intermittent, bzzz, the motor and then off.
Yeah.
Bzzz, the motor and off. That's the thump.
Yeah.
And the seat is actually at its extension, so the motor is trying to, you know, move the back further back than it really should. So he then knows what the problem is. He knows the switch is bad because the motor cannot turn itself on and off by itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the switch's job. So you have to pull the seat. And it's a lot of work on a Corvette to pull the seat. Then you got to turn it upside down. You got to take the whole bottom of the seat off, and you've got to replace the switch. So anyway, he does all that. He checks it. The starts fine. I think the bill was, I don't know, $400 or $500, but there was mm-hmm. a significant amount of parts and labor after we got past the diagnostic part. And the guy was tickled pink.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him in a nice way, and I turned it around. If this were my shop that charged you $90 and had two chances to fix your car and we didn't, I would think it would be appropriate for you to nicely say, here's your ticket,
mm-hmm.
and you charged me $90 and couldn't find anything two times. Here is the ticket that fixed the car. I was wondering if you would review both of these documents and determine if maybe you would give me some portion of a refund based on your inability to find the problem and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my phone number's there. Thank you very much. That's a nice way.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if he's going to do that, but if the
yeah.
shoe were on the other foot, you know, we would do that.
Yeah, and I told him, you know, wait a week or two, because the draw, it didn't happen overnight. The issue
days.
Was, yeah, present after multiple days. So going there and saying, I got this replaced yesterday, if the shoe were on the other foot, I would say, well, we're not still sure that it fixed the problem because we haven't let the vehicle sit for 3 days. So I was telling him at the counter, you know, just wait a week or two and then go back and say, I haven't had an issue, you know, since
it's fixed.
Yeah, it's fixed and there hasn't been an issue. It sat for 5 days or 3 days or whatever it is and it's taken care of. So
who told you that?
I learned it from you, Father.
No, I'm telling you, I'm very proud of you saying that because
yeah.
I didn't think of that until you said that.
Yeah.
That is part of the process. He told me that his battery was dead every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Cut and dried, period. And unless he put the trickle charger on it, and then it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he put 3 batteries in it, so I remember saying to him, well, it ain't the battery.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud of you telling him, don't go back there today.
Yeah.
Give it a week or two, because that's the first thing they may ask you, well, and like you said, hey, It's only been 24 hours. Yeah. Come see me in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So wait the 3 weeks and then go talk to him.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of you that you came up with that, and that further verifies that the Salem girls are almost as smart as the Salem guys.
Please.
No, with respect to those common sense things.
Yeah.
Those are common sense
things.
Well,
and I think it's just things that, you know, we think of maybe differently than the consumer, just being in the business and dealing with it every day.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do lots of legal work, mm-hmm. and I have been inundated the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, I am covered up. But let me tell you something, folks. If you think that something's going to go wrong with your car and you're going to come up with some story that you want the insurance company to buy and have them pay for your turbocharger or your injectors or your transfer case or your engine or your transmission, they're wise to this kind of fraud. They are hiring experts, and they're saying to the expert, go look at the vehicle, go look at the repair order, go look at the defect, go look at everything, write a report, don't sit on the fence and fall on one side or the other,
mm-hmm.
and give us your why. So if you say, this isn't related to some vandalism, or this isn't related to some electrical wiring problem, then say it and tell us why. But if it is, say it, tell us why.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many of those cases. I had one this morning.
Oh, really?
One this morning. The guy's washing his engine on a diesel.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, there's a $6,000 bill.
Mm.
And they talk about water entering the fuel system. Now, the fuel system on a diesel is sealed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place you can spray water. Diesel fuel comes from the tank through a filter and water separator, goes to the high-pressure pump that takes it to 20 to 30,000 PSI. Then it's sent to the injector that's closed. The computer now opens and closes the injector.
Mm-hmm.
It's called pulse width, and it sprays the injector. There's no place that there is a tunnel where water can meet this diesel fuel. So it's a very difficult case, because this is one of those things that doesn't make any sense at all, and you've got collusion between the shop owner and the car repair, or the guy, the owner, and their story has been verified and asked for numerous times, and they tell the same story, and then it goes in front of an expert I know, and he says, there's no way. There's just no way
mm-hmm.
that when you wash your engine, that you're going to introduce water into the fuel system.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. Not on a Chevy, not on a Dodge, not on a Ford. So it makes no difference what you do. Well, the idea was, is because I did this, it was an accident, and I got water in, and now I need a new turbo and 8 injectors, and the bill, ironically enough, is $6,000. So the insurance company says, and they all say this, because I won't work for them if they say otherwise, just tell us the truth. We're prepared to pay it, or we're prepared to deny it, but mm-hmm. just tell us the truth. So they don't get to put words in my mouth, and they don't get to say, write your report with this till.
Yeah.
I'm not playing that game. But anyway, I'm bringing that up to your attention, our listeners, because that's really fraud.
1 minute.
And some of the insurance companies are actually looking in that direction when it's so blatantly obvious that this is fraud. And so don't do that. Don't, if it's a maintenance issue, it's really simple to determine whether you didn't maintain your vehicle right or someone vandalized your vehicle. And I'll tell you one other thing. You can't go out and call the cops and say, my car was sitting out in front of my house, I was sleeping, and somebody hit it and all the airbags went off, and now you owe me $5,000 for all the airbags, and here's why. It's because the airbags don't go off unless, A, the car is moving, and, B, the engine's running and the key is in the ignition. So if you're sleeping in your house and the keys are on your kitchen table and somebody hits your car out front, they can hit it at 250,000 miles an hour, and they ain't going to pop the airbags in your car. When your car has the airbags popped and it's sitting in front of your house, it's because you drove it and popped the airbags, and then you drove it home and came up with this silly, stupid story that someone hit your car. We'll be back right after this.
Once again, here's Mark.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. If you have a car question or a car problem or a car comment, anything to do with cars, horse trailers, boats, wheel bearings, emissions testing, any of that kind of stuff, then you can give us a call. It's simple, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and that's the easy way to get a hold of us. and we can take your call as soon as we can. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. You've heard me talk about Kurtz. He holds down that area of I-17 and Bell very, very well. He's been around a long time. Jeff is his service writer, and unlike most service writers, Jeff is an ASE Master Tech. Eric is the lead shop tech, and he's also an ASE Master Tech. What that means to you is they have passed all the 8 automotive tests and been certified as a Master Tech by a national company. We don't pay for the certification. We pay to take the test, but many people fail the test. So if you pass, you pay and pass, then you get a certificate that's identified you. But it's only 5 years. So you have to retake the test after 5 years. After you do it 25 years, then you become kind of retired and you don't have to take the test again. So Kurtz is a good guy. I-17 and Bell on the northeast corner. If you live in that area and you don't have a shop, may I suggest you stop by Kurtz. Right now in the auto repair industry, we're dealing with two things that the computer and the internet has created. Number one, we're talking about people fixing cars over the internet. And I can't emphasize enough that the procedure and diagnosis involves hands-on. Not too long ago, a gentleman was complaining about his car idling rough and running rough. And based on input on the internet, he ended up working on the fuel system for some extended period of time. And he went back to the same forum, or he asked the same question. And people again and again would say, well, you're getting too much fuel or too little fuel, or look for air in the fuel or whatever. They came up with lots of stuff. At the end of the day, he found a vacuum leak on a large vacuum hose where it had broke. And he replaced the vacuum hose, and that fixed his drivability problem. And he admits that he was sidetracked by himself. I mean, he's not blaming anybody else, but there was lots of other people that were chiming in. And in order to check when your car comes in, and if you've got a drivability problem, if it's not idling right or if it's dying and stalling, during the diagnosis process, we have to test the car. We have to test the fuel pressure. We have to test the emissions, because what's coming out of the tailpipe tells us what's going on underneath the hood. So in that particular car's case, we would have stuck a tailpipe probe in his tailpipe, and his HC, his hydrocarbons, would have been through the roof. His CO would have been in the basement, and we would have known at that time that we had a vacuum leak. Now, if it's idling rough and we artificially inseminate the motor with propane or carburetor spray and it smooths right out, then that tells you it's the absence of fuel or the abundance of air. But keep in mind, we probe the tailpipe and we see the numbers scream the abundance of air. Because if HC is high and CO is low, I want you to picture your two hands like that, one of them down low, one of them up high. That clearly says we have a vacuum leak or too much air. But if it's rich and it has too much fuel, both of them are sky high. So there's just a matter of knowing. And there's no way the guys on the internet can tell you what's wrong with your car without performing some of these operations. So you have a code that says you have an ABS problem. And there is a series of tests that you have to go through to determine what's going on, because it starts with each one of the wheel sensors. And the wheel sensors report the speed of each tire to the computer. And the ABS is completely asleep until you hammer the brakes. This happens 3,000 times a second. So as soon as you hammer the brakes, the ABS comes alive, wakes up, and it starts looking at all the tires, and it sees the right rear tire has gone from 35 to 0. All the rest of them are declining, but they're declining 35, 34, 32, 31, 29. But this one went from 35 to 0. That means the tire is locked up. So the brake locked up on the right rear. So the ABS will immediately open a valve to dump all the fluid to that tire, and it will know that the tire has resumed spinning, because it'll see the speed go from 0 to 32. Now it will then reapply pressure gentler than it did before, and until it sees the tire decline in speed as much as the other three. And I'm telling you what, this entire thing I told you over the last 20 seconds happens in the blink of an eye. So when you're doing an ABS analysis, you have to make sure the computer is awake. You have to make sure all four wheel sensors are good. You have to create a situation where the computer sees a bad wheel sensor and then make sure the computer makes the proper command. But if the command is sent, you have to make sure that the command is sent to the dump valve and the dump valve gets the command and is capable of dumping the pressure. Because if the signal's sent but the dump valve is shorted or it lost its ground, then it can't dump the pressure. And all of that cannot be done over the internet because, A, you don't have the tools or the knowledge, and, B, neither does the idiot who's guessing with your money. So they really, it isn't a situation where the internet's helping you fix your car. You are allowing someone you've never met before. You have no idea of their credentials. You have no idea of their ability. You're allowing someone to guess with your money. Now, I tell you, never let a shop do that, and I'm telling you, it's a crazy idea to let someone on the internet guess with your money. The gentleman earlier that had the four-cylinder Camry, Olaf, he was a very nice man, but according to the internet, somebody told him that it was the ABS module, and that is a very good example of someone guessing with Olaf's money. It's his money. And so if he goes and buys the ABS module and he has it installed or he installs it himself and it doesn't work, he spent a lot of money. And almost all the time, almost, I'm going to say 80% of the time, the guess is more expensive than the diagnostic procedure. Because on most cases, the diagnostic procedure is not going to be below $45. And I would say maybe 5% in my shop, maybe 5% are over 175, and all the rest of them are between 75 and 150. $75 on the low side and 150 on the high side. Now, it is true, and I will grant you, that you are at the mercy of the shop being truthful about the time that it took to diagnose your car. But it's kind of like anything else. You're going to have to trust somebody. Not too long ago, one of my technicians was taking a seat out of a car. And he found a $100 bill underneath the seat. So he's looking at the $100 bill, and he admits he's thinking about putting it in his pocket. But he's scared to death that it was planted there, and the car may have cameras, and he's scared to death of getting caught. So he walks up front, and he gives it to the service manager and says, I found this underneath the car, that Blue Ford car's seat. The problem is, as a former policeman, I'm looking at this $100 bill that's folded in fourths, and it's got a tremendous amount of dust on the top of it, and there's an impression on the carpet underneath the seat where this $100 bill has been there a very long time. So it's not something that someone just did. Nevertheless, we put it in an envelope and gave it to the customer. So I'm proud of my technician. I'm proud he made the right decision. I would have hoped that he made the decision whether it was a brand new fresh $100 bill or one that was covered with dust like I saw, but I don't think he picked up on that. But we were proud. And in reality, because of another shop owner who had had this same thing, he told me, the best thing I ever did is give that kid $100 for his honesty. And so that's what we did. We learned from other people. And it made a big difference in the shop. Everybody knew that honesty is the better policy. So hopefully your shop treats you fairly. There's lots of good shops out there. I'm telling you, the ones that you want, the specialty shops right now, because business is so slow, the specialty shops, the brake shops, the transmission shops, even paint and body shops are starting to get into the mechanical aspects. And I truly believe that you're not going to go to a shop that has done brakes for the last 10 years and that they are going to be your best choice to chase down a check engine light or a drivability problem or a dyno installing problem. There's a learning curve here, and I would hate for you to spend money while somebody else learns on your car and you're paying for on-the-job training.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm really sorry for the delays and for the gaps in our show. I really, truly apologize for that. We've had this problem fixed for a very long time, and it seems to have its ugly head has now shown itself again. So we don't know whose end it's on, but I'm going to take full responsibility for it. So I apologize. Bruce, hang on just for about 15 seconds, if you would. S&S Tire is a great place for the West Side, and I'll tell you why. First of all, they have three locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. Number two, they have a huge selection of tires and I don't know how many different brands. So what that means is you can go in and they will take your tire size, and they can give you a price for four tires in a good, better, best kind of pricing structure. Then you can decide what you want to do. Very few places have that many brands of tires to ensure that they can give you the good, better, best. They also have tires for everything else you might have. Farm equipment, golf equipment, lawn and garden equipment, ATVs, ATCs, trailers, commercial truck tires, commercial construction tires. They do suspension work, they do maintenance work, and they do alignments. So it's really a kind of a one-stop shop. So if you're in the West Valley, may I honestly suggest S&S Tire for your tires and suspension and alignment needs. Bruce, good morning to you. Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Okay. I have an attaboy for one of your shops.
Okay.
And basically, I'll tell you at the end who it was. The short story is my neighbor brought an 01 Dodge 3/4 ton two-wheel drive to a shop of his choice, and they didn't want to work on it. They highballed him at like $2,000 to get rid of a darty, drifty issue on the road.
Okay.
So it wouldn't stay in the lane, dead on center. And he came to me and said, yeah, they want this much. And I told him no. I said, okay, so what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to take it to the dealer. Well, who am I? So he takes it to a Dodge dealer. They came back with, and it struck a nerve with me, and I know it will with you. They came back, and he showed me the quote on this one. It said, replace the steering gearbox to start. And I went, yeah, they're guessing with your money, John. Don't do that. So I told him to go to one of your shops, one of your recommended shops. He did, in fact, follow up on that. He went to one of your recommended shops, and for, I want to say, I can't, don't quote me on this, but I think about $130, he was out the door and loves it. He was done. No part. Basically, all they had to do, I don't know power steering gearboxes, but something about lash. They had to adjust lash or something in the steering gearbox. And it fixed his drifty issue. He's thrilled to death and won't go anywhere else now.
That's
the name of the shop is, it's your shop.
Yeah, I know. You're right. We didn't know a lot of that story till the end. I'm honored that you're saying something. Thank you for that. But he did come in. He did. I'll tell you what he did right. He didn't do anything wrong. And he had a friend like you that took care of him as well and that looked out for him. But he described the issue perfectly. Just perfectly.
Well, that's what I told him to do, too. I told him not to put it, just give you symptoms. Not tell him what he's done, what he's already done, what he hadn't done. Give you symptoms.
Yeah. And so what they did was is they put it on the alignment rack and they shook down the front end. And everything was fine. Then the alignment tech called for another tech and says, come over here and shake this steering wheel. I want to see what's going on with the front tires. And the technician has his hand on the tire, but he's watching with his eyes the steering wheel. And the kid starts by going left and right an inch and then left and right 2 inches. Meanwhile, the tech's got his hand on the left front tire, and he sees the steering wheel moving left and right 3 or 4 inches, but there's no movement of this tire. So then he opens up the hood, and he looks, and he sees the steering shaft coming into the steering box, and then he sees the pitman arm going out the bottom. He has the young tech move the steering wheel back and forth, and he sees that the input shaft is moving, but the output shaft is not. So then he goes and gets the appropriate tools, and he's going to take the lash out. He's going to take the play out. The gears, there's slop between the input shaft gear and the pitman gear. So he then adjusts it, and he purposely adjusts it too tight, knowing full well he'll see that. And then he starts backing off until he's happy. cleans up the mess he made because there's going to be power steering fluid coming out of that hole, that adjustment hole. And then he goes and drives it, and he says it's fine, and we're done. So I'll tell you how I knew that. I think your friend went to Google and left us a nice review. And when that happens, whether it's good or bad, Google notifies me, and I'm up at the ranch. And so I forwarded it to my daughter, Andy, and I said, this is a really nice review. Why don't you track down the technician that did it, and let's do something nice for him? And she did. And then I answered his review on the Internet. I don't remember what I said, but I did thank him for the review, and I did thank him for giving us as much information as he could. So thank you for that. I didn't know where you were going at the beginning, but when you said $130 and lashing the power steering box, I remember reading that. So thank you very much for that, Bruce. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He was just getting the runaround, and your thing of, are they guessing with your money or my money?
Yeah.
You know? And I went, John, you are barking up the wrong tree, buddy. I buy an awful lot of parts for your front end and not fix it.
I think the thing that bothers me is if I remember right, the first estimate included lower control arms, and those are historically an audio. That's a clunk when you take off and a clunk when you stop. It's also going to have some abnormal wear on the tires, and he didn't have that. The second part was a steering, and I knew it was a steering box plus a series of other ifs. And really, there's no question in my mind. We are good enough, our industry is good enough to look at every aspect from the steering wheel to each one of the front wheels and to test every single connection and component, and we don't have to say we're going to start here but leave your check open. We're capable of saying you've got one tie rod end bad and we need to adjust your steering box and maybe flush your power steering system, and that will fix your car. We're capable of that.
And I did know that.
So, anyway, thanks again, Bruce.
I think the other shops didn't want to touch him.
You know, it is possible, and I must admit, there are times I have done that. And let me tell you when I do it. You got a customer that comes in that's never been in before. We had this happen the other day. The lady walks to the front counter. She's an older lady. And she is all bite and bark from the good morning, ma'am. How can I help you? And she says to us, I'm leaving my car here. I want you to fix it. I'm going to drive it for a month, and I'm not going to pay you till I know you fixed it. Everybody else has ripped me off. I've been to 5 other stores. And I know that my chances of fixing this car are slim and none. So I just said to her, we're just not your shop. And she said, this is what they're chasing. And I said, that could be $2,000 or $3,000. And she humped and then she walked out. I have used in 37 years, there has been times I've thrown big numbers at a customer because I didn't want to work on their car. I would say that probably happens once every 3 or 4 years. So I must admit that I've done that before. But, I think you're right. You may have gone to a shop that didn't want or didn't have the diagnostic capabilities to fix this, so they threw a big number at him thinking they could subcontract it to somebody else, because that's happening in our industry as well. So thank you, Bruce. Thank you very much. The other thing that's happening in our industry is the Internet parts issue. Most of us list the part number on your ticket, so you can then take the part number and query the part number and find out it's on the Internet. Here's the problem. First of all, I just did a study, and you can buy the part on the Internet cheaper than I can buy it here locally. In more than 25 parts that I randomly picked, in more than 25 parts I purchased that I randomly picked from what we call our receivables.
2 minutes.
Not a single one of them I couldn't buy cheaper on the Internet. Here's the difference, though. The Internet part might come in a white box. It's going to take 2 to 3 days. Well, I'm going to say 1 to 3 days to get to my shop. And when you order an Internet part, you don't have any labor warranty. So if the part goes on the car and it's defective, then you have to pay the labor twice. And whatever you saved is gone. Now, if the part fails in a week, in a month, or 6 months, or a year, you still have no warranty. But my part, you do. my part's going to be put on, or I have access to it in an hour. I'm going to put it on, and if it fails immediately, I pay the labor, you pay nothing. I take it off and put a new part on, and it doesn't cost. I take it
One
off.
Minute.
I take it off and put it on, and it doesn't cost you anything. If it fails in 6 months or a year, I put a new one on and I take it off, and it doesn't cost you anything. So there's a difference. Now, I can't speak for other shops, but I let my customers bring one of their own parts every year. I tell them in a joking manner, you don't want to bring me an $8 air filter that you're going to save $5 on. You want to bring me a dashboard where you save $500 on it. Or you want to save, you know, $100 on an air compressor. Or you want to save $150 on a rack and pinion assembly. But the more expensive the part, the bigger the risk on the labor side. So it is a problem, and we're all learning how to handle it. But that's for at least this time right now, is we're going to let our customers bring one part a year. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here, and the lines are wide open. If you have a car question, 602-508-0960. I want to tell you about two good shops in town, and they're on the other side. They're on opposite sides of town. First of all, if you live in Deer Valley or North Phoenix, you're going to want to listen. Or if you live in Mesa, you're going to want to listen. In Deer Valley and North Phoenix, Action Auto Repairs at I-17 in Deer Valley. He's been around since 1983. The good shops have been around a long time. When you have a shop that has changes owner every year or two or three, or and changes staff, that might be one you want to stay away from. So Tom's been around since 1983. His staff is well known for quality workmanship. He has ASE Master Certified Technicians, and he's going to work with you so that you understand the why and the what and the when and the where. So they're pretty good at Action Auto Repair. They're not pretty good. They're really good at Action Auto Repair.
Raphael is your next caller.
Then you got Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa. He's on Main Street just east of Stapley. He's the third generation of the same family that's been fixing cars in Mesa. Brian and Thelma, who own Thompson's Auto Repair, when you meet them, you'll say to yourself, that's exactly what Mark Salem said. They are the most kindest, the gentlest, the smartest, and the most businesslike people you'll ever meet. They are just really, Brian, now they're both married, keep in mind, but Brian's the kind of kid you want your daughter to bring home, and Thelma's the kind of lady you want your son to bring home. I promise you that. So since 1970, Thompson's been around a long time. So that's Thompson's Auto Repair in Mesa on Main Street just east of Stapley. And then on the other side of town, Action Auto is I-17 and Deer Valley. Two good places to have your car fixed. Raphael, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yes, good morning. I called you about a month ago about my 3000 GT, that the spines were coming out and my car was dying after getting my clutch done.
Okay.
You referred me to Mike's Auto Tech in Glendale, and I just wanted to let you know they did get to the bottom of the problem, and they were a very good shop and took care of me. I appreciate it.
What was the problem? You want to share that with us?
Yes, the intermediate shaft that goes into the CV axle, that part was, I don't know how, but ground down, so therefore it would come in and out, and so therefore the car would stop moving. And,
okay.
They did everything to find out what was going on, and it took care of it. I really appreciate it because it was driving me crazy.
Okay, so you have an axle shaft, but you have a knuckle assembly on both ends, on the inner end of each axle shaft, and those, you know, go into the transaxle. Then the other end actually hooks to the two hubs and the two front tires. So you had one of those joints, which is typically some portion of the intermediate shaft, had come apart, and the reason why no one could see it is because the joint, which is very much like your knee joint or your wrist joint, your joint is covered with a big black boot that's filled with grease, and the grease is supposed to lubricate and cool the joint, so that's what makes it double tough to find a bad joint, is because you can't see it.
And so I'll pass that on to Mike, that you were a happy customer, and thank you very much for calling us and let us know. Thank you. All righty. You betcha. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. It's a day in Mark's life. Every day my life, as you well know, is just cars, cars, cars. And it's not uncommon for me to be involved in other people's problems, because that's kind of what I do. I had a lady send me an email the other day that was just the ugliest email I've had in probably a year. She took her car into a shop. The shop said they could take care of it. They're predominantly a transmission shop. The shop said, I can take care of it. Days and I think a week or 10 days later, they still had not identified it. They still had not bid it. And every time she called, they kept saying, we're working on it. So she wanted to go get her car out of there, but they said no. So she called me. So what I did is I told her to get a hold of the media and tell the media that these people were holding her car hostage. She also said she had never signed anything, never received an estimate, and never told that there was going to be any upfront charges. I also told her to call the Better Business Bureau, because the owner of this shop actually has a position within the Better Business Bureau on a committee.
1 minute.
And I thought it would be important for them to know that this activity is happening. So I don't know what the outcome of that was, but it's important to learn the lesson from that. And when you take your car in and the car is there for 5 to 10 days, and all you get is we're working on it, we're working on it, that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And you have to decide what you're going to do, and you are best served by just as best you can getting your car out of there. So it's a shop that I don't respect, but that didn't really affect my advice to the lady. If you think you need to get your car out of there, you need to get your car out of there. And I also said to her, you can call the police and have them come by for a standby. And then you just walk in and say, if you have a bill and it's signed by me, I'll pay it. But I have a set of keys and I'm going to drive my car out. And the police will do what they call a civil standby. And it's just to keep the peace. And under those conditions, most of the time, you're going to be allowed to pick up your car and drive it out of there, if it's possible. And if not, you'll have to have a tow truck. That happens every once in a while. And it happens when there's a disconnect between the customer and the shop, and the shop's unwilling or unable to explain why they've had the car for a long period of time, and the customer has lost faith in their ability to perform. So, unfortunately, that's what happens. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, I'm happy to take it. The lines are wide open. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here. Every Saturday, 10 to noon, we're talking about car and car repair issues. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by IMM Auto Service. IMM is in the northeast part of Tempe. IMM has been around since 1972, and here's what's special about IMM. There's some cars out there that are very difficult to repair, and you better have had some history with the car in order to repair even some of the basic stuff. Well, IMM specializes in the Volvo, Saab, Alfa Romeo, and Fiats. But they also work on your Toyota, your Honda, your Chevy, Ford, and your Dodge. So no matter what you have in your garage, IMM can handle your car repair needs. Again, they're south of the 202, west of the 101 in northeast Tempe. So South Scottsdale, northwest Mesa, and all of Tempe is well within their area. IMM Auto. Let's go to the phones. Jake, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi. I have a 2002 Jeep Liberty, and it was having a problem. I took it in to get diagnosed, and I think over at Sun Valley, and they said that the engine wasn't holding compression, so I needed to have it rebuilt. They wanted to kind of charge me quite a bit to have the engine rebuilt, but they also suggested getting a used engine put in. Not really sure which one would be a better deal, but the rebuilt it would be cheaper to get a used engine put in. But I also got a quote at another place where it was a little bit cheaper, but I'm kind of wondering what do you guys think would be the best route, and if you have any recommendations on who can do a good job for a fair price, because I don't really make a whole lot of money.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about the symptoms first. If you have a cylinder with low compression, you're probably using some oil. You might be leaking some oil, and it doesn't idle very good 100% of the time. Do you have those?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's not leaking oil, but it's not idling very good.
Okay. All right.
It's, and it'll die out once in a while, especially when I'm stopped.
And when you drive and you go 35 miles an hour, it's not really smooth either. It's not really sewing machine smooth. Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to make sure that we diagnose the motor right. I don't like a used engine, and here's why. If you don't buy the added warranty on the used engine, if that thing has a rear main seal leak a week after they put it in, then the fight's on who's going to pay for all the labor to replace the rear main seal. If you're going to buy a used engine, you always risk stepping out of the kettle and into the fire. I have installed used engines. I know what it's like. Most of mine have been successful, but we take the used engine and replace all the external gaskets because oil leaks on a used engine is the number one problem. What you need to do is get everybody to break up their estimate into the four categories. How much is the engine? New, rebuilt, and used. How much is the labor to install the engine? How much money have you got for the miscellaneous stuff, the oil, the filter, the coolant, the gaskets, the motor mounts, the upper hose, the lower hose, the heater hoses? How much money have you got? Most everybody's going to be $200 or $300 for those miscellaneous. And then give me, and then you're going to just take the miscellaneous and the motor and times it by 10% because that's your sales tax. Have everybody break it up. Tell them you want the estimate broken up. Engine, labor, miscellaneous, sales tax. Then you can compare what's best. But if I were you and you're going to keep the Jeep Liberty, I'd probably put a rebuilt engine in it. And one of the ones we install is from Jasper, J-A-S-P-E-R. If you're not going to keep this Jeep or you drive small miles every year, under 10,000 miles, then a used engine might be the same. But here's the deal. The used engine is the same labor as a rebuilt one or a new one. It's the same labor. Doesn't make any difference. So the labor should be the same on all of them, but the cost of the engine should be the big deal. So that's what you need to break them up. That's what you need to do. Good luck to you. I don't know, what part of town do you live in?
I'm in North Phoenix, kind of 27th Avenue, Deer Valley.
Okay. I would go over to Action Auto at I-17 in Deer Valley and talk to Tom, and I would also go to Kurtz. And he's at I-17 in Bell Road, and I would get a number from both of them. You got nothing to lose but a half an hour's worth of time.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you, Jake. Thank you. Tom, you're up next. How can I help you?
What I wanted to ask you about is I have a 2010 Tacoma, Toyota Tacoma, and it's got, I bought it with 189,000 miles on it. It had been driven pretty much all highway miles.
Okay.
I know that because the hitch had never been used and it was clean as a whistle. So anyway, I got 122,000 miles on it. What I was wondering is about shocks. I don't think they've ever been replaced. What should I replace them at this kind of mileage?
Okay. Well, does it have 122 or 189? Okay, Gil, I'm back. Does it have 122,000 or 189,000?
122.
Okay, good. Here,
and I'm sure the shocks have never been changed on it.
All right, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, based on the mileage and the year of the truck, yes, I would agree that most people would tell you it is time to put shock absorbers on it. Number two, you're going to find shock absorbers in a good, better, best kind of price range. Number three, there are times that we are told to replace the shock absorbers, and the bill could very well be between $500 and $1,000. And at the end of the day, I'll see the customer a month later, and I will say to the customer, by the way, did you notice the difference? They say yes. And was it worth the money? And they say no. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I don't care if it's a strut front end, if it's a strut back end, or if it's got shocks all the way around. There's a difference between struts and shocks. But if you wanted to do it, I would
I would go and I'd find lifetime shocks. I'd get the cheapest four shocks I could get. I'd get lifetime shocks, and I think you're best served that way. But I want to warn you, there might be an increased, a better ride. Maybe there will, maybe there won't. But yes, I think for one reason, safety reasons. You're driving down the road fast, Tom. You're misbehaving yourself, and all of a sudden, a little kid runs out in front of you, and you swerve hard to the right. You better hope the suspension on that truck is in good shape and that you don't roll over. The shock absorbers push down on the tires and keep the tires on the roadway, because you're not going to like the steering if one of the tires in the front is up in the air and the other one's down on the ground. So it is a safety issue with shocks and struts. However, as a mechanical expert, I must tell you that I have never but one, I've seen one case where shock absorbers were an issue. And this was a case where a guy ran off the side of the road, then he turned left, he came across the road, and he crashed in the median. And one of the tire manufacturers, because it was because of a blowout, one of the tire manufacturers made a big deal about the fact that he had the original shocks on his Ford truck at 130,000 miles. None of the rest of the experts believed that that was an issue. We believed the tire blew out and he lost control, and that it wouldn't have made any difference if he'd had new shocks on there, but it was an issue. And that's the only case I've ever seen in 25 years. So that's the story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. I have one other quick question, and that's that you suggest a transmission shop in Mesa. I know my wife, I sent her Sienna over there, and I don't remember the name of the shop. They did a very good job. But what is the name of that transmission shop in Mesa that you recommend?
I don't have one in Mesa. I don't have one in Mesa. I used to recommend a quality transmission on McClintock and University. However, Bob has since sold to a new owner, and the new owner cannot be on our best car repair shops list until he has 5 years of experience at that location. But anyway, aside from all of that, I'm really happy that you went to a transmission shop and they treated you fairly and you're happy. That's not the norm. And so I'm really happy. And whoever you picked, then you should refer them, because if they made you happy, then they're typically going to be a good shop. Okay? All right.
Quality was where we went.
Okay.
And they did a terrific job for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If it was quality, then
Steve,
yes.
Steve is next.
Steve, good morning to you. How can I help you this morning?
Hey, good morning. A couple questions. 2005 Chevy Colorado. Engine blows. Would you put a new engine in it, or is it too old?
How many miles are on it?
Based on the rest of the stock. About 165.
And how did it run before the motor blew? Was everything else okay?
Yeah, everything was fine. It ran really well. Had a temperature problem, and I didn't realize it. Ran out of water, and it blew.
Okay. So, well, let me ask you a question.
Nervous.
If I were to finance your engine, and I was to say to you that, for the next 36 months, you're going to pay me $100, would you pay $100 a month to have a nice new motor put in that truck and to extend the life of that truck? Because my point is this, you're likely to pay $3,500 to $4,000 for an engine installed. And if you stretch that over time, it's really nothing. And if you buy a new truck, then the license plates and sales tax exceed the value exceed the amount you would normally spend for an engine. So if you buy something new, that sales tax and license plates goes away. You never recover that money. But I tell people, it's kind of like you're paying for the privilege of driving the truck. So if it's $4,000 and you pay $100 a month, that's 40 months. But if you pay $200 a month, then that's 20 months. So let me ask you, if I put a motor in that truck free, would you pay me $200 a month to drive it from this point on? Kind of rent it from me for $200 a month, because you're not going to buy anything for $200 a month as far as a payment's concerned. So, and you're going to rent a car for $100 a week. So $100 a week times four is $400 a month. So I put an engine in, you give me $200 a month. Fair or not?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not doing all the math.
It's just a matter of if whatever the cost is divided by some months, that's what it's going to cost you over a long period of time. So it's kind of like you're renting your car from yourself. If I had that truck and I said to you, would you rent it from me for $200 a month and it had a fresh motor in it, would you pay $200 a month to rent that truck? And that's kind of what it is.
Well, 2 minutes.
But what about, I guess my real point is, what about the, in your experience with that year, make and model, transmission, driveline, you know, the next thing that may go bad, is that year, make and model, can I be confident that I'm not going to replace something else?
All right, well, I can answer that. The S10 was replaced by the Colorado. And I have two S10s in my fleet. One of them has 190,000 miles, and the other, and they're 2001s. And one of them has 190, and one of them has 179. And I don't have any intention of getting rid of either one of them. And when the motors go to motor heaven, I'm going to put a V6 4.3 back in those little trucks. So the answer to your question is, I don't know when the transmission is going to fail, but that's going to be another $1,200 to $1,800. I don't know how well it's been taken care of. I don't know how long it's been abused, but I can tell you this
one
much.
Minute.
The transmission's probably going to go to transmission heaven somewhere around 150,000 miles and 300,000 miles and 450,000 miles. As far as the rest of it is concerned, it's all wear and tear. So I don't know when you're going to need to rebuild the front end, or maybe you just need a couple of ball joints. I don't know any of that. But for the engine itself, $200 a month rental, divide, and that's what you're going to pay for an engine, and you're going to kind of amortize it out at $200 a month. And you're going to not call it as a payment, you're going to call it rent for your truck. And that's really what it is. It's all math. It's, do you want to pay $200 for the next 20 months for your truck or not? And if not, get rid of it and get something else. Anyway, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. You can send me an email anytime you want. If you would leave a number on your email, I usually call you back because it's easier than typing. And I call back on a restricted number, and so that will be me, and for obvious reasons, because my wife doesn't want me giving my cell phone out, and so that's how I handle it. So nevertheless, I'll see you next week right here on KKNT.